Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
This is Paul Hawksby.
This is Max Rushton.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Kevin Day joined us, didn't he? He was on good form. He talked football finance because he is something of an expert, although he says he isn't, and Palace's new manager. We spoke to Faye Carruthers, who's with the England guys.
Yeah, we have big plans for her. Yeah. I have big plans for her.
You'll also hear from Connor Cody.
Yeah, who's part of the plans now.
Of the plans, yeah. And it's a very different evening now for Max. And we played an old classic clip from the warm-up featuring Emmanuel Frimpong, didn't we? Because we were talking today about those Q&As that you have with footballers. I think that's just about it. I don't know if the TalkSport talking dog Prince will feature.
I hope so. I enjoyed that bit.
I'm slightly scared. Well, I have to hold my mouth in a certain position, and it is quite a scary sight, isn't it?
I just thought maybe
I'd finally gone.
Maybe that was the moment.
That was the moment, you. Shall we call it 3:45, pension him off.
9th of June, 2021.
There we are.
End of Hawksby.
Here it all is. Good afternoon, Max.
Yeah, good afternoon, Paul. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm starting to get very excited about the whole thing.
How's this manifesting itself? What are you doing?
Well, at the moment,
do you have an array of England shirts? Do you have?
I gave some to the homeless shelter the other day. I don't like to talk about my charity work.
No, I know,
Paul.
Don't bring it up.
Yeah. I told you not to bring it up.
Sorry, I do apologize.
I've still got a couple. I've got the old red sort of classic 66. Red 66.
Yeah, I've got one of them. Yeah,
And I've got one. I can't remember what it's sort of a. I'd say it's a mid sort of 2010s one. I haven't got the, 82 and 86, I think, might be my favourite ones.
The 82.
I love the 86.
Red.
One.
I'm not a big fan of red shirts, but that is a nice.
Yeah, that is a beautiful kit.
It's a nice kit.
Yeah, how it manifests itself at the moment is when the latest England player to be interviewed, because they seem, they're in sort of casual sports gear, they're sitting down, they're very relaxed. I think they look relaxed. They should start. So at the moment, because I just saw Raheem Sterling and Dean Henderson
yesterday, they should start. Faye, he was on holiday.
He was horizontal,
So relaxed. That's a really good sign, though.
It is.
It?
But then, I imagine, Faye's talking to Connor Cody, he'll be relaxed, so then I'm going to have to start Connor Cody.
Yeah.
So it's just whoever Faye has spoken to last gets in my starting 11.
Right. But, that's a good system.
Why not? You've got to find a way, haven't you? Yeah. It's a bit like picking a horse to win.
He's
the
always
national.
Good value, Connor Cody, isn't he? So I imagine he'll be quite good today. Anyway, we'll hear from Faye. We'll be in Baku as well. Hugh Woozencroft is there with Wales, so we'll catch up with Hugh. We're going to get a bit of a feel for the place. They've had a couple of days now to have a look round, so we'll see what Hugh makes of
Baku. Hugh Woozencroft, travel man.
Yeah, basically Marvelous. In Baku, with Nigel Adderley as his star guest.
Love to Nigel.
Dean Saunders.
On Saturday...
He'll be getting in the evenings. So there was me, right? He'll get all of Dean's stories, which are legion and many.
Oh, yeah.
And he'll be getting all... Big John Hart and me. And he'd be doing, honestly, about 2 hours. He won't get a word in edgeways.
Or they'll do a Dean Saunders coaching session. Right, I'm the centre-back, you're the full-back. I'm running at you. What are you going to do? I'll tell you what I'm going to do. He answers all the questions. Yeah, very good. Now, on a couple of Saturdays ago, we were talking about... They were talking about press conferences and Naomi Osaka not doing the press conference. Yeah. And the fact that there's a worry that... The only time you'll hear from sports people, if they don't have to, if they're not obliged, they are obliged to talk to Faye and talk to other broadcasters in England squad. But if they're not, you'd only get their social media channels or when they partner up with people for sort of weird, here we have Matt Dawson. It's always Matt Dawson. He's always talking to you about loft insulation or something. Anyway, Pete Allison, who works local radio, got in touch to say, Max, I heard you mention celeb plus unlikely topic interview offers recently. David Seaman on air pollution has just arrived in my inbox. That's good, isn't it? So hopefully we'll get David Seaman on soon to tell us about air pollution.
David's coming on tomorrow to talk to us about it.
Is he really? Yeah. Yeah, well, that was. So no, watch God, yourself. You booked that quickly. Blimey.
What about that?
If I just say Robert De Niro, does he get booked for tomorrow's show? That's tremendous.
What about that research
isn't it?
Today from good people at Uswitch who've worked out that Kyle Walker's got the largest energy bill?
Does he?
16 grand, they reckon he pays, because he's got a massive fish tank.
Has he?
I used to know.
How do they know Kyle Walker's got a massive fish tank?
Because there's pictures of it.
Oh,
and
right,
obviously
okay.
Looked at how much. I mean, it's huge. Absolutely. I mean,
like an aquarium.
It's almost like you could go in a diving suit and swim with
it. That's
them.
How Kyle cleans it every morning.
He goes
it?
In there with a brush.
Yeah, absolutely.
Kyle in his diving suit. Yeah. I knew where he used to live, which wasn't a million miles away from me.
Okay.
A nice place, but as far as I know, it didn't have a full man-sized aquarium in it. But I think it is one that you can go in, yeah, and have a swim with the fishes.
Oh, what a lovely offer.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Would he offer it to anybody?
Like, I don't know.
How much does it cost to go? Can you get a family ticket?
16K,
so many questions.
They reckon 16K. What is
a year?
Is that a month or a year?
I don't know.
I mean, it can't be.
And can he save money if he goes on with Uswitch? Is that what they're saying? Kyle, you could say, ring him up. Don't ring him up during the game, though.
No, it would be.
Missed call at half time from
Uswitch. It'll be a month, wouldn't it? I mean,
16 grand a month?
Oh, yeah, easy.
For an aquarium?
Yeah.
I won't get an aquarium then.
Fair enough. Yeah. When I hear from you this afternoon, what was the reason for you saying things you were going to do but then went to the pub instead?
Oh, well, there was a story in the paper, you may have seen it, that some guy, and I don't have it in front of me, but basically he was off sick, but he went to the pub. Judges ruled that was totally fine. Obviously, it depends on, you know, I think if you call in with the flu, I think you probably shouldn't go to the pub. But, you know, if you've got a broken arm, you can go to the pub. But anyway, the judge said it was fine. So I thought you could fill in the blanks. I was meant to blank, yeah. But I went to the pub instead.
Right.
But I launched that on social media. It hasn't flown. Just some silly answer. The listeners are smarter than the people who just follow me.
Okay.
So I hope for more from the listeners. But yeah, fill in the blank. I was meant to blank, but I went to the pub instead.
Now, tomorrow, Damien Delaney's going to join us, former Ireland and Palace player.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to chat about it. It's quite a nice initiative by good friends at Paddy Power, which we'll tell you about. But as soon as I said his name, you said to me, Max, have you ever seen his fantastic fantasy dinner party lineup? And I hadn't. So
it was in the Crystal Palace programme.
Well, Kevin Day up next, he'll know about it.
Keith Richards, definitely Keith Richards. He'd be my number one dinner guest. The stories, man, I was a little bit obsessed with the Stones, and I still am, to be honest, fair enough.
Yeah.
Then it goes on a slightly different route. Joseph Stalin, Genghis Khan, Chairman Mao and Napoleon. There's a lot of murder in there, isn't there?
What a five-a-side team. Four despots and a Rolling Stone. It'd be fantastic, wouldn't it?
Keith Richards has got to bring a lot of fun to that party, hasn't he?
I mean, he must
otherwise
have loved
it. Murder.
He loves a strong man and a strong manager, I'm guessing.
I think so, yeah.
And what are Keith and Genghis Khan going to say? I mean, they've probably got some stories.
Same age, though, aren't they?
Yeah. They're so fantastic. Have you ever seen a clip of Keith?
So the clip of Genghis?
No, yeah.
I haven't seen that one.
Keith's on stage and some bloke runs on the stage and he decides to kind of go up and hug Mick.
Right.
But Keith takes off his guitar and whacks the bloke with his guitar.
Oh, okay.
And I think, to paraphrase, I can't remember it, but he said, this man came into my place of work, so I cut the mother down, is what Keith says in explanation.
Mao and Napoleon would be rolling in the aisles, wouldn't they?
Genghis would be going, fair play, I would have done a similar thing, but possibly with a sword.
The question is, make a different gig, wouldn't it, the Rolling Stones? The question is, just the best questions and answers, the best answers you've seen in football programmes, football magazines.
Yes, Tottenham had this whole thing going, we used to say to players, do you believe in ghosts and have you ever seen one? To which the reply, 9 times out of 10, was, no, I haven't seen a ghost, I don't believe in ghosts and I've never seen one.
Yeah.
So it was a bit of a dead end as a question.
Course.
But I seem to remember Aaron Lennon turned into a vet fielding. He really went for it. And it was a very fulsome answer, which I wasn't expecting.
Well, I don't think there's any better than Florian Lejeune in the Newcastle programme, which is, how would you dispose of a dead body if you only had 1 hour to get rid of it? Which is quite the question to ask.
Yeah.
You thought most players would bat that away, but he just said, I'd put it in the boot of my car, drive out to sea, put it on a boat and throw it into the sea. With weights on it.
That's great, isn't it?
Florian Lejeune knows exactly what to do.
Yeah.
Actually, Jonathan Wilson did a very long thread about how that is not a sensible way of doing it.
Oh, okay.
Given the ferries you can get around the Newcastle area.
The amount of Newcastle fans in the pub after the game going through the programme saying, it's not the way I'd do it. And beginning going through their different... So, look, it started a conversation, which is what it's all about.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Now, the six breakaway ESL teams have been fined £20 million. And I thought that would be each, wouldn't it? You know,
That would sting a tiny bit, yeah, isn't it?
You know. But it's 20 million collectively, which, considering they're six of the richest clubs in the world,
and we're planning to decimate the whole Premier League,
does smack a bit of sting in Quadrophenia. Will you take a check? Doesn't it? Here to chat about that, because he's one half of the excellent Price of Football podcast, is Kevin Day, comedian, performer, writer, Palace fan. Good afternoon, Kev.
Hello there. How are you?
Good, thank you. Does that sound enough? Look, I mean, it's coming out of basically my season ticket money, some of it. But does that doesn't sound a lot, does it, for six very rich teams? I mean, it doesn't sound like a great deal of pain.
It doesn't, really. There'll be a few sofas in Manchester that they're checking down the back for loose change. they'll find it somewhere, and it's a little bit of a bonus for the rest of the teams in the Premier League, if that's how it gets distributed. You never know. The Premier League might say, let's give this money to the rest of football. Mm. They've had a difficult time through the last year. I wouldn't hold your breath, but I'm quite happy to be talking about it, because if it means we don't have to talk about the prospect of Steve Cooper taking over at Palace, I'm happy to be here as financial expert. Although I should point out, by the way, that my role on the Price of Football podcast is to ask the questions in pretty much the same way that you've asked me the question.
What we can do is, Kevin, could you just ask Kieran when you next see him if this fine is enough and what should have happened?
I will ask him, but the trouble is, what will happen is I'll ask him and I'll do what I always do on every pod, forget immediately what the answer is.
Oh, that happens to me all the time. Oh, so frustrating.
Tell me, amortisation. He defines the word amortisation to me week in, week out. And why would you remember it in any other circumstance? It's not, I'm surprised at the lack of the how little the fine is, really. I think there's more of a in the Premier League, more than UEFA. I think there's a they want to draw a line under it far more. UEFA, I think, will want to be as vindictive as possible for as long as possible towards these teams. But I think the Premier League are vastly aware that the six teams involved are the six teams that bring most interest to the Premier League. So I think they basically want to slap them on the wrist, and this is the lightest slap on the wrist you could possibly imagine. I mean, if this was a toddler wouldn't feel this slap on the wrist. And it's kind of interesting. I think they may even have spoken to the six clubs beforehand and said, what would you tolerate as a fine, essentially? And they kind of went, well, you're probably 20 million quid. And they went, oh, that's all right. No, between us.
Yeah. So, yeah, and they've gone, it's a bit like the old Seth Johnson story.
Exactly,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Now, 20 million. He means 20 million for all of us. Don't say anything. Don't say anything. Just keep nodding. It doesn't even divide into 20 particularly well. It's 3,333,033. I mean, at least you might have said, what, 4 mil each? They might have gone each, rather than just coming up with a figure that involves loose change.
I don't think the Premier League bosses will be sitting there going, what divides into what, will they?
Well, they should. Five, I think if it had been 5 mil each, they would have said, right, everyone is 30 million, 5 million per club. Mm. That would have been a sort of
you
nice
just want
round
some even maths,
I just
don't
want
you,
to
Paul?
Even, something that divides into the figure intended.
It divides, all right. It's not like pi, where you have to go for a certain number of decimal points. It's all right. I don't think they'll be quibbling about the amount of money they get. I think they will think they got off lightly, considering, as Max said, what the potential was to do to English football was destroy it. Yeah. There's no two ways around it. You can't pussyfoot around this and say it would have cost clubs some money, it would have lost us the Carabao Cup. It would pretty much have destroyed English football Absolutely. As we know it and love it. So this is a very, very light slap on the wrist. Although you have to bear in mind as well that they will be taken off Premier League committees. So people from those top six clubs won't be allowed to sit on Premier League committees for a certain amount of time. There is a lot of distrust from the other clubs in the Premier League towards them. So I think behind the scenes, those clubs will still be on a charm offensive to get back in the good books of the clubs in the Premier League, if not the Premier League. So, although it's a difficult one, because people misunderstand. The Premier League actually consists of the 20 clubs that are in the Premier League every season. So the membership changes every season. There's no sort of organisation called the Premier League. Everything is done on a vote. So it'd be interesting to know whether the clubs were all consulted about the amount of the fine and thought it was adequate.
Absolutely.
I hate to ask you about Palace, Kev, but we probably should. For about, I don't know, for about 6 hours, you thought Nuno Espirito Santo was coming.
But it's gone the same way as Conte, that, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Too big an entourage, too much money.
Were you excited about Nuno for that short amount of time?
Do you know what? For 6 hours, the only problem I had in life was how you scanned Nuno Espirito Santo's red and blue army, which was tricky. It was really exciting. I have to say, I was the one on various WhatsApp groups who went, no, it never happened. I couldn't see it happen. It's just too glamorous and exciting for us. I just had the feeling, as a lot of Palace fans did, that it would have been not a strange fit, but that he would have wanted to bring in a lot of people, that he would have wanted to change a lot of things in a very short space of time, and that we're not a club that's ever been really associated with having more than one or two overseas players in the team. We're a team that, you know, likes to get behind local players and local youngsters. So there was always that fear that he would want to bring in a massive new entourage almost overnight. And we know he's got brilliant contacts through him, and he's a super agent. He's got brilliant contacts all over the world. So it might have been that the club culture would have been changed too quickly, but it was too exciting. It was never going to happen because it was way too exciting for us. And now the worry is, of course, now that whoever gets the job knows that they weren't really first choice. And, of course, as each day ticks away towards the start of the new season, you kind of think it's going to be a makeshift. There's this worry, it is for me because we don't get on, but Dougie Freeman starts to get his name mentioned. There's always that issue. And if it's Steve Cooper, that would be brilliant for Steve Cooper.
Are you not? I mean, he's an up and coming coach. Did well with England. Has done pretty well with Swansea.
I understand that, and I'm all for up and coming coaches, but I would rather they up and came at somebody else's club.
No disrespect, Steve.
No. It could be a. You don't know. It's just that thing. I'd rather. It's risk and reward, as we've spoken about before. There's too much for us to lose, and it makes no sense when you've lost a manager like Roy Hodgson, who almost guarantees you a place in the Premier League, to bring in a manager like Steve Cooper, who hasn't got Swansea out of the Championship. And yes, I know he's done it with limited resources, but if you watched the playoff final, you wouldn't be watching. If you were a club in the Premier League, you wouldn't be thinking, I want the bloke who managed that losing team in the playoff final to come to my club. And also, when you've got some fairly big names in our squad, they want to be excited by big people coming in. And he could be brilliant if he comes in, and I think it's looking likely that it will be him. But it's a huge risk. And
isn't that more interesting than getting, you know, just another one of the same old people off the merry-go-round? You know, you've gone to the Dodgems. It's a bit more interesting.
I never liked the Dodgems as a kid. I wasn't too happy on the merry-go-round as a kid, to be perfectly honest. But,
not a great fan of funfairs, by the sound of it. Teacups,
it was only an analogy, Kev.
Yeah, that's right. Don't take us back to some childhood trauma on the water. Some old teddy boy chatting your mum up.
That was my dad. My dad was the old teddy boy in that relationship. Well, let's just say we're hooking a duck with a manager's name on it. I'd rather hook a duck with a manager's name that is going to keep us in the Premier League. And Nuno, again, would have been an exciting choice. I'd rather Sean Dyche, to be perfectly honest, but even if we get Sean Dyche, it's a long process to get somebody who's a younger Roy Hodgson. And all I'm saying is it's the risk of bringing Steve Cooper in. And it might be that Steve Cooper comes in and he brings three or four players from the Championship, a market that he knows really well, and we do brilliantly. But again, I'm at an age I want that security. 14th, if you give me 14th, 15th next season, and maybe beating Man United, I'll take that.
Kevin's the dream. We've got to go. Lovely to talk to you as always. We'll catch up with you soon.
And you.
Thank
all
the best.
All the best, boys.
Do check out the Price of Football podcast. Kevin doing himself down. It's a really interesting listen. It's football finance made fun and understandable. Yeah. Which is not an easy thing to do.
Can I read you one of these questionnaires?
Oh, yeah, go on.
A slight cheat. It came from the infamous Ask Arshavin Q&A, which he ran on his frankly mad personal website, says Tom. The question is from someone in Murmansk who says, do you have any pets? What are their names? And Andrei Arshavin says, at the present moment, I don't have any. When I was a kid, we had two kittens. I cannot now remember their gender. And we also had a hamster. However, they all disappeared under unclear circumstances.
Different times.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Well, time then to head back to the England...
To the England farmers market. I did say to Paul before the show, shall we make some jam and send it to Faye? And she can try and offload it. And Paul just went, no.
No, I just said no, Faye. You don't want Max's jam, do you, for goodness sake? Nobody, none of the England players. Gareth doesn't want your preserves.
I don't think he does. Listen, Max messaged me last night saying exactly the same thing. I'm going to send you some jam. I'm going to make some. He was very excited about it.
She's thinking, oh, God.
No, please don't do that.
It puts you in an awkward situation, but yeah. I think they'd understand. Well, look, I think there could be a market for it.
It's classic, Max. We pointed out yesterday, you're in this kind of big tent set up and all the broadcasts have their own little area that players come and chat you in. And I did say it did look a bit like a farmer's market.
I've taken it too far, as always.
Now,
yeah.
Max has got the idea for you to sell kind of country biscuits and jams and chutneys. I think it won't help, will it? I mean, what will the players think when they come in?
They'll be like,
he was trying to dress me like a farmer yesterday.
Someone's put a spread
on. He was
on.
Saying I should look like a hipster farmer.
Like a hipster, three-quarter-length trousers, that little woolly hat.
A pair of wellies. Yeah. That's it, like sort of Glasgow chic.
I think they think Faye's made an effort. This is great.
I mean, it'd break the ice.
Exactly,
that's for sure.
It would. So Connor Cody, so we said yesterday, Raheem Sterling so relaxed. That was a good sign, I think, in the camp. But Connor Cody's always good value, so you've dropped on there. I think he's always good to chat to, I would think.
He's awesome to chat to. He's just so relaxed and chilled out, and he just loves every single minute of playing for England, and that comes across. I mean, when he scored his first goal, I spoke to him afterwards, and you literally could not take the smile off of his face. He was absolutely buzzing, even to have just been included in the squad initially when he was called up for the autumn internationals. He was so delighted. Then, unfortunately, we didn't see much more of him after that because he obviously had been in contact with somebody who had COVID, and so he had to self-isolate and couldn't be included, which was such a shame. But whenever he puts on an England shirt, he's, you know, he uses the term buzzing, and he absolutely is. So I can't wait to see him again today. I'm also going to ask him, after Raheem described himself as England's most handsome winger, I want to know what Connor is going to describe himself as in terms of defence.
Well, he's not the most handsome now. Ben White's in the squad, is he?
He needs a bit of a spray tan, I think.
Yeah. He looks like a sailor. He looks like crew on a super yacht, doesn't he? You can imagine. You know what I mean? Looks like a man who's perennially healthy, doesn't he? Just looks.
The centre-back situation is so interesting, Faye, isn't it? And I don't know how much... Do you think by the time we get to, you know, the day of the game, we'll know if it's going to be a three or... We normally find out it's going to be a two or a three, because when that team sheet drops an hour before kickoff, it's going to be fascinating to see.
It really is. But don't forget, they change formation throughout the match. And Gareth always talks about that. There's so much emphasis put on formation, but it's very fluid, and the way football's played nowadays, it changes frequently throughout a game. Yeah. And we've seen that under Gareth Southgate as well and what he does. So I think the general thinking against Croatia is that it will be three at the back. But then you just don't know come the day. And obviously, bearing in mind personnel, it makes it a little bit harder, because I was at training earlier on today. No Harry Maguire. He's still training indoors. And so it's going to be really interesting who starts in what kind of formation. Luckily, this is exactly why Gareth Southgate has called up versatile players, because there are plenty of players that can play in a three or a four in midfield as well. You know, it's exactly why Ben White was called up. He can play all kinds of positions, and that's going to be vital, because you just don't know going on. We've got Harry Maguire injured at the moment. Going forward, you don't know who's going to pick up injuries in training and in the first couple of games.
What's it like around Jordan Henderson? Are the sort of coaches or the physios coming in to chat? Is he just training normally? I know he's played part in the game the other day, but is he being treated like all the other players in training at the moment?
Yeah, he is at the moment. But obviously, as you know, Paul, we only ever get 15 minutes of open training, and it's very much a kind of warm-up format. So we don't see what actually goes on afterwards. It could be that he trains separately, and that's not information we're yet privy to. Equally, he played well in those 45 minutes, I thought, bearing in mind he hadn't played for almost 4 months. We'll take the penalty out of it. We'll forgive him that. But he looked really comfortable, and he sounded confident when I spoke to him after the match as well. And I think it's just a case he's been training really hard. He said how hard he'd worked just to be able to get to this point. So you know a player like Jordan Henderson, he knows his body. He's been around the block. He's grafted for this. I don't think he's the type of player, if he wasn't fully fit, that wouldn't flag the fact that he doesn't feel fully fit. That's exactly why we didn't see him in the first game against Austria, because he just felt... He described it, which I'd never heard this description before, he described it as domsy when I spoke to him.
Oh, right. So,
you know, you get delayed onset muscle soreness, which is DOMS.
Right.
I've never heard domsy before. No. I was like, oh, I like that. And so that's why he didn't play. Then they scanned him and it was clear. So I think in terms of Jordan Henderson, fingers crossed for him personally that he'll be okay, whether or not he'll be risked in a 90-minute situation or will start against Croatia, we'll find out.
It's going to be, I mean, it's fascinating to see if he starts. I think it's interesting with Connor Cody in the centre-backs because, you know, when everyone is talking about this squad, they're pinpointing that as a potential problem area. I wonder how the centre-backs feel, you know, as to be that part of the squad. You know, no one says, oh, the attack's not that great. So they can all think like, oh, we're all great and whoever gets picked has done a great job. You know, everyone is pinpointing the centre-backs as the potential problem area. And I don't know, I suppose, you know, Southgate said in that Players' Tribune thing is, you know, the players shouldn't be looking at social media and following any of that. But you wonder if that filters through to them and to sort of, you know, say, how do you feel? You lot are the bad bit of this squad is a tricky thing to deal with.
Well, I'll speak to Connor Cody about that. That's what we
don't
get
say
to
I
talk
said
to
it.
The players. Get, oh, I will. I'm attributing it to you, most definitely.
Max Rushton says you're
Max
rubbish.
Rushton says.
I just said, Max Rushton said, would you like some jam? That's
yeah. That was his yeah, main that, focus.
That's how I'll smooth it over instead. Yeah, I mean, look, I think when you look at the squad and you look at the names on the squad, anybody would look at that and think that perhaps the weakness is in defence. And Gareth himself has spoken about, you know, the fact that they've been defensively poor recently. When you don't have a comfortable centre-back pairing, and even when we saw Harry Maguire and John Stones play together, John Stones made a poor error. And so what you thought was going to be, you know, a comfortable centre-back pairing then had some question marks over it. And it just doesn't feel that that's the only part on the pitch where we feel like we've not had any solidity. And that's the place we need the solidity, because that has to be solid in order for those forwards to go and do what they can do. And as I said yesterday, we've almost got this rotational, amazing group of players that can all push forward. There's no point doing that if you get caught on the counter-attack and defensively can't handle it. And unfortunately, they have looked a bit shaky. I highlighted Tyrone Mings the other day against Romania in particular. He didn't have some great moments against Austria, but was particularly shaky against Romania. Mm-hmm. Perhaps that's why Ben White ended up in the squad, because yeah. He had a very assured performance, cleared off the line against Austria, and then played really well when he was in a centre-back pairing with Tyrone Mings against Romania. And so, you know... It's a really difficult one, because I don't think you can read too much into those warm-up games coming in, bearing in mind the number of players that were absent yeah. for it. But it is an area that we've struggled in, I agree.
Mike says, imagine the England team going down with food poisoning before the semi-final because of Max Rushton's jam. Listen, Rushton, if we get knocked out of the group stages and Gareth Southgate comes out in the press conference and says, I was put off by someone trying to get me to push preserves, yeah. I'm coming for you,
that
says Nye.
That would be terrible. There was something in a jam we were given by Max Rushton. A lot of the players had stomach cramps. That's why half the team were missing.
I think I will be driven off
yeah,
camp.
I think you would. You'd have to leave. Oh, anyway, it's not happening, for I've put him off.
Well so, done. Thank you, Paul, for the sensible side.
Enjoy your chat with Connor
sensible,
Cody.
Boring, more like that.
That's all right. Hopefully here, that's right, yeah. Well, hopefully here, I feel like his dad sometimes. Well, hopefully here, there's some of that interview later, and we'll catch up with you tomorrow.
Cheers,
thanks
mate.
A lot.
Yeah.
There we are, Faye Crothers there in the England camp. And yeah, I mean, also you said, shall we make some jam? I've never made jam in my life.
Maybe neither have I.
Tonight would be a good night to do
why
it.
Not?
I just said to my miss, you said, what are you doing? I'm making jam for Faye Crothers so she can show it to the England players in something that looks like a pharmacy. She said, are you mad? I said, no, it's not Ms. him, it's Max Rushton. He sucked me into his vortex.
You'll get a weekend show soon, don't worry.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
And Paddy's going to join us on the show tomorrow. And controversially, he's going to be playing the birthday spread.
Feels
we're having
like
a week off, an exhibition.
It feels like the 39th game, this. Feels like the integrity of the spread has
birthday
gone.
It's a three-way spread.
How does a three-way spread work? I mean, do we have
we
to
all
write...
We have a guess. It's not that complicated.
Do you think we have to write it down?
Well, listeners have suggested you write it down, so then it just you're not one either side.
No, one either side is fine.
Writing stuff down on the radio is not great, is it? I mean, as
worth
it is,
giving it a try.
Shouting out people's birthdays. Is not
I'm
great.
No, I'm going to... I'm I'm treating it with the contempt that it deserves.
Okay,
the three-way spread.
We'll have a chat.
As a purist.
Paul Ince, Manu Petit tomorrow.
Oh, that's good.
Lots of other people as well, including Damien Delaney, formerly of Palace and Ireland, who gave a couple of the great Q&As in match programmes. You've been telling us about those this afternoon, so you can keep those coming. Got a little bit of something to play you from Max. He said, do you want to play that? Well, should we play that later?
Would you want to do your three? You want to do Klinsmann or Emmanuel Frimpong? That's okay. The choice we've got.
Well, maybe
now.
We can try and squeeze. Let's do Klinsmann first. Jürgen Klinsmann is part of the Three Lions documentary here tomorrow night from 7 on Talk Sport. It's the story of the song.
Yeah.
Three Lions by Skinner and Badil, and we chatted to them. It's kind of interwoven with the story of the tournament. So you hear from Stuart Pearson, David Seaman, and Darren Anderton, and Motti, and Chris Tarrant, and lots of different people heavily involved in the song and in the tournament.
When Dean Henderson was saying in the sports bulletin that, you know, when you hear those opening chords, you do just... It just takes you back. It's
absolutely
like an amazing...
Yeah.
Like, that just is perfect. It just makes me think of what a brilliant summer that was.
We had to speak to Jürgen Klinsmann because the Germans kind of adopted
they
the
did.
Song. And Frank and David, sadly the audio doesn't exist, but they went on German telly and sang it on German TV at one point as well. But it has got a certain notoriety there. So we did have a chat with Jürgen on Zoom at his home in the States. And he kicked off by saying he understands why the Three Lions song resurfaces at all the major tournaments.
Obviously, a World Cup or even a European Championship is something embraced by everyone. So you live through those moments all together. So, and you suffer and you celebrate together. So I think, you know, with this song was so, it meant also a lot because it documented back, you know, to 66, you know, when there was this so special moment for England. And when every kind of next tournament comes along, it kind of gets reused in a certain way because there's always hope, right? You have always the hope for the next tournament and the next tournament. And I think they played an outstanding tournament in Russia and they got close to it. You know, they were right there and now comes the next opportunity. And I think, you know, why not dreaming and why not thinking that it can happen this summer? Why not? And that's why I think this song will never get old. It will never get old.
And the German team of 2014, when they came back to parade the trophy, the German fans sang it to the guys when they were on the open top bus. So the German public, not just the players, have embraced it.
Yeah, so it took them quite a while after 96. We tried to kind of sing it with them. They didn't get it yet. In 2014, then they knew the song because I think it is played on YouTube more than 7 million times. So it took us quite a while to get the text down. But it became so popular also in other countries, especially then in Germany, because they connected in also with the win of the 96 European Championship trophy. Everybody loves it. Everybody loves that song. And it will be interesting to see this summer now who's going to embrace it and actually enjoys it at the end of the day of the most.
There we are, Jürgen Klinsmann chatting to us as part of the Three Lions documentary. You'll hear that at 7. It's interesting. It brought back a kind of lot of memories.
Yeah, I bet.
Of that
I
tournament.
Am I the only person that thought the lyric for ages were Jules Remain and nothing to do with Jules Remain? I just hadn't done that. I didn't wear that out. Am I the only person? Did anyone else think it was Jules? I don't know what jewels they were, but they remain still gleaming.
The jewels remain. This is not some nod to those Bobby Moore, those scurrilous accusations at the 1970
Absolutely nothing
World
to do
Cup.
With that. No.
No, okay, good. No.
Anyway, I can't be the only one.
No.
Okay. Maybe, though. It's possible.
Well, not me. I was okay. With it all the way. So, 7 o'clock tomorrow here on Talk Sport. And the excellent Gazan McCoist Together Again documentary, I'm sure, is available to listen to again on the Talk Sport app. That was on last night.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from Talk Sport.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now, imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to BOLLandBranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
On the subject of interviews and funny things in magazines off the back of Damien Delaney, he's on tomorrow and his fantasy dinner party of Keith Richards, Chairman Mao, Genghis Khan, Napoleon and Stalin. Darren Mackey was asked about reading and he said, if I did read books, it would be autobiographies because I enjoy finding out about things that have happened in other people's lives. My favourite book is Lord of the Rings. Although I haven't read the book, I've watched the films. The book must be good because the films are so good. My favourite author is J.R. Tolkien because he wrote the best story ever told, Lord of the Rings. So that's good, isn't it?
So, I think we're going to be able to play you a conversation.
Oh, a bit of Frimpong?
Yeah.
No, oh, marvellous.
You had a chat with Manuel Frimpong, didn't you?
A while back, as part of Footballers Are Nice.
It's a kind of audio Q&A.
It's an audio Q&A, but Footballers Are Nice, which ran for a few years, so we sort of ran out of footballers to ask, and it included some sort of menial lifestyle questions. How many toilets do you have? Mark Schwarzer has 9.
Yeah.
Danny Mills, 6, and 3 in the outhouse. How many tellies do you have? For example, David O'Leary has 11 of those.
Wow.
And a couple of the questions are, what's your favourite insect? Because I heard that on a rival radio station. I thought, if that's the best they can do, then we can, you know, we're on a good thing. And what's your favourite cheese? So this is Emmanuel Frimpong, former Arsenal legend, of course. And Barry begins with the insect question first.
Emmanuel, what's your favourite insect?
Antelope. Is that an insect? I don't know.
I don't think so.
was that antelope?
I was not the smartest kid at school, so forgive me on that one.
No, you know, like an ant or a snail. Is a snail an insect? Oh, that kind of thing, little things.
I forgot the name.
Hey, I would still...
I don't know the name for it.
I'd stick with antelope.
It was little.
Yeah. Do you own...
It's too early, Russia, man. It's too early. You caught me on the wrong day.
No, look. It's easier if we reclassify antelope as an insect from now on. What's your favourite cheese?
The yellow one. I don't know the name. I don't know. The yellow one.
How early is it in Russia, Emmanuel?
At the moment, it's 2:15, but we don't train till 6 o'clock in the evening, so I was sleeping when you got called. Forgive me on this one.
He was half asleep.
It was 2 in the afternoon. It wasn't that early.
You wouldn't want an antelope running around your skirting board, would you? Wouldn't be infested with antelopes.
Antelope.
Monty Python sketch.
We did agree, and it never happened, but we said we would go to the Natural History Museum together and do a piece. Well, not reclassified, just to show Emmanuel Frimpong around, you know.
All right.
Just to show him what an antelope was. It's a very good answer. What's your favourite insect? Antelope.
I mean,
I wasn't expecting it.
The shock of seeing what an antelope looks like compared to an insect would be quite...
Or a tiny... Maybe there are tiny antelopes. Anyway, some good answers. I enjoyed it.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Would you like to hear about a fugitive tortoise?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, runaway giant tortoise managed to leg it a mile before he was caught. The giant
Must have taken a couple of weeks.
I was going to say, the giant African Sulcata tortoise, known as Titan, fled from his enclosure at a top speed of 0.3 miles an hour.
Oh.
The 35-year-old pet was spotted by a member of the public. Hours later, the 9-stone beast was hauled into a police van. This is a bit harsh, isn't it?
9-stone?
And driven home.
Where was this?
In Suffolk.
Really?
The owner
was
baffled.
There's a 9-stone tortoise in Suffolk.
On the loose, going at 0.3 miles an hour. There was no sign of the fence being broken, and he can't jump over it. It's 3 foot high, he said. He needs some. If it was a super responder to the super spikes,
yeah, he
could get up
those.
To 1 mile an hour, couldn't he?
You mentioned Ben Brereton earlier on of Blackburn Rovers.
I did,
He's now playing for Chile. Billy, I think, by one of his parents, obviously. Mm-hmm. And you said he'd gone from Blackburn to Chile.
He'd
not played any minutes. I think putting that in perspective, Danny, the Villa fan, my mate and I played county darts. There was one spot left as Staffordshire took on Glamorgan. I played and he didn't. He wasn't impressed. It was a 7-hour bus journey. Oh. It took 11 to get back as there was an accident on the motorway. Well, it does put Blackburn to Santiago in perspective, doesn't it? Thank you, Danny, for that.
Ben says, I went to Sydney for a wedding, which I didn't attend because I was sick.
Well, that's pretty good. I mean, that's up there. That's in the Brereton envelope.
It is in the Brereton
envelope.
Absolutely right.
A John Grisham, wasn't it, I think?
A final in a regional tournament, says Espen. Coach left me on the bench because we were only narrowly winning the game. We can't risk anything. I didn't disagree with his assessment, he says. This doesn't really count, but I cycled from Birmingham to Paris. Well, almost got to Paris. I got 40 miles away and fell off and had to go to hospital. So about 360 miles under my own steam to not cycle to Paris.
Yeah,
there we go.
There's quite a few of these. There's some footage emerged today. West Ham fans will enjoy this. Vladimir Soufal, their fine defender, was involved in a little incident with Eduardo Rejo, who is the coach of Albania. Mm. They were playing a pre-tournament friendly yesterday. And he ran into the coach, 75-year-old Eduardo, and sent him flying. Soufal said, my momentum took me into him. But when you look at it, it was a bit of old East End skullduggery, as far as I'm concerned. He's left
a
bit on the coach.
And started again. He's 75, isn't he?
But it happens twice in a week. He went over the other day. He was pushed over. I mean, he is 75. So he didn't fall over. He had a fall. I'm working on that basis. At that age, he had a fall, as we all know.
But I did suggest before the show, the text topic, what's the oldest person you've inadvertently knocked over? But you didn't want.
Well, I just didn't think it had legs. But he's gone down twice, the poor fella. So anyway, but thankfully he's all right. He laughed it off with Soufal afterwards.
This is from Dusty Bus, who says a teammate got a red card in the semi-final. Mm. The ref wrote my number down instead of his, and I was told at the final after driving 200 kilometres for it that I was suspended. That's a bit harsh, isn't it?
Can I put out a request, Max? Would you mind? Would you give me a few seconds to...
Ladies and gentlemen, it's now time on TalkSport, abusing its power. Paul Hawksby a personal request.
But for a good cause. Okay. The charity of which I'm a patron, Sporting Memories Foundation, do lots of great work for people tackling dementia, depression and loneliness. And this might be something that interests you. The Great North Run, 12th of September, Sunday the 12th of September. Mm-hmm. They've got some spots, as many charities have, and they've got a couple of places.
Oh, good.
And they'll give you some help with your training. They'll keep you in touch. They'll work out the fundraising for you. They'll give you as much help as they can. If you've always fancied doing the Great North Run, I know a lot of people have, and it's apparently a brilliant one to do. If you would like to do that and raise some money for Sporting Memories Network, get in touch with them now. Fundraising at the SMF. That's fundraising at the smf.co.uk. We'll put it on the TSH&J website. But, a couple of spots still open if you've always fancied doing that for a good cause. And, if you can help, that'd be great. Thank you very much.
I've just tweeted that out. And it's a great charity as well.
It is. And we'll put it on TSH&J. It's on Max's as well, so... Okay, well, we spoke to Faye Carruthers a little bit earlier on, and she said she was going to have a chat with Connor Cody. You'll hear a bit more of this chat, I'm sure, in Drive and throughout the rest of the day on Talk Sport. But Faye has had her chat. We can bring you a little snippet of that now. And she asked him about his earliest England memories.
Oh, the first tournament, I was born in 93, so I think 96 come a little bit early for me. 98 was one where Michael Owen won the goal against... the goal where he slaloms and ends up putting it in the top corner was incredible. That one for me sticks out. I think that's the earliest memory that I can remember, if I'm being honest with you. And listen, what a team that was. David Beckham was involved and people like this. So, yeah, that's the earliest memory for me in that goal.
Who was your England hero when you were growing up?
I've always been a massive fan of Steven Gerrard. Steven Gerrard was always one. I supported Liverpool as a boy growing up. So Steven Gerrard was always the England hero. But you go back to, like I mentioned there, Michael Owen. I think for any young boy, young child, seeing a striker score as many goals as he did and goals like that he scored in that tournament was incredible. So I'll definitely say them two, I think.
Nuno Espirito Santo, in terms of club matters, leaving at the end of the season, was that something that surprised you as players and something you were able to kind of, you know, block out while you were on camp at England?
Yeah, first and foremost, when you come here, it's you block anything out, you're playing for your country. Listen, it's so refreshing when you come. It's something where you come and play with the players that are here, the manager that's here, and the way you go about playing for England is the most special feeling in the world, honestly. I can't put it into words. So to block out your club situations, you've got to do that coming here because you're playing for your country, playing for a different team. But first and foremost, I think it's always a little bit of a shock when your manager goes. I think it's always a shock for us as players. It was a shock when we got told on the Friday. But listen, the club's moving forward. We've obviously seen a new manager come in today, which is incredibly exciting for the football club. It's incredibly exciting for us all, and we're all really looking forward to getting back to work and get working under him, to be honest with you.
Yeah, how did you find out that news, and what do you know about Bruno Lage?
Well, I've seen a lot in the news over the last few days. I think that's where we all find out the news. I've spoke to the club a few times, which has been brilliant, and they've spoke to me about it as well, which has been great. So, listen, it's a real exciting time for the football club. It's something we're all excited about because we all want to improve. We all want to get better. We had the season we had last year, and listen, the football club's moving forward, and we all want to make sure we try and make it better as much as we possibly can.
And then one final random question. Max Rushton thinks that this area looks like a country fair, and he wants to make jam for everybody and start selling it to you all. So would you be open to that? Do you have a favourite jam or chutney?
Chutney, no. Yeah, just a normal strawberry jam I can put on my toast. Yeah, so I'll be open to that, yeah, definitely.
Right. Well, that's the first order in. Good man, Connor. Thank you, Faye, for asking there. So you've got to go home tonight and make, from scratch, first ever time in your life, right? And explain it to the missus, strawberry jam for Connor Cody.
We've booked the cinema, right? I haven't been to the cinema for, what, about a year and a half.
Whoa.
And I've got to say, sorry.
Cancel it. Connor
sorry,
Cody
Jamie.
Wants his strawberry jam.
Absolutely. Okay, consider it done.
Yeah, which could be the title of today's podcast, quite possibly.
Well, thank you, Faye, for asking that question.
Yeah.
I was about to say, no jam question, so good on Faye.
Good stuff. And if you're not sure how to pronounce the name of the new Wolves manager, luckily Prince, the talking dog from That's Life, he's on hand to tell you. Have you ever seen Prince, the talking dog from That's Life?
I don't know what you're talking about. The Esther Ranson show.
It's such a great shame that that whole generation of people now are not aware that a dog talked on national TV, properly talked on national TV.
I'm all ears.
On TV every week. I find it hard to
very believe. Much like it should be on the one show.
But he would have said, so, what is it, Prince? Bruno. That's how he sounded, the dog,
right.
The dog that spoke on That's Life. I have to hold my mouth
you
in a
do,
certain
yes.
position, but that's what
slightly
he sounds like.
Sinister, all of
that's
that. That last 20 seconds.
Quite sinister.
Right, okay.
Anyway, you get the idea
not
with
long
that.
Long left of today's show.
Yeah,
so you know.
That's it. So, now you know. Look it up, kids. It's on YouTube. It spoke. That's all I'm saying to you. It wasn't a trick. It spoke.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. We'll do it all again tomorrow. We've got a bit of a special. We've got some top names. Manu Petit, Paul Ince, Damien Delaney. We've got Paddy Powell's popping in. Christian O'Connell's going to come on, isn't he, from the world of radio?
Oh, great.
Live from Australia. So, look, until then, hope you can join us. If not, the podcast will be available around 5.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.